I love how it's always like, okay, we have to do our silence, and it's always someone always tries to fuck with someone else. It's never just, okay, silence, and then we'll get to the show. Just
listen like, to the sound of silence.
Hello, I was good, then he goes, my asshole's this big.
Just for the record, I was recording that, and that is going to be the intro for the hey! Hey, what's up, Podzilla fans? It's Podzilla 1985.
And it's not even 2:30 in the morning.
We are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's going in there, aren't
you? Choo-choo, y'all. We're going off the rails early.
Oh, I am, of course, Shannon Young, as always, here with the Podzilla 1985 crew. Jordan Lowry is here.
How's it going?
Asa Gray.
Hello.
Tanner from Tanner Thursdays.
Oh, fuck.
And I could have sworn a second ago Zach Price was sitting next to me, but then the lights went out, and all of a sudden, John Bassey's standing here. I don't understand.
Small disclaimer, the views expressed by John Massey or John Massey's alone and not the views of Podzilla or Blogzilla 1985 or Shannon Young.
Or other corporate entities that we will still not name.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we just wrapped up the pay-per-view. What was it called?
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. And never have I been happier and more upset about a pay-per-view in a long, long time. Just a general overall, I thought it was a good show. We knew it was going to be a good show. I don't want to talk about the big story because there's one particular thing that happened.
Should we save that for the end?
I think we should make that the main event.
Kind of like how WWE should have saved it for the end.
Yes.
Yeah. So what did we talk about first then? Overall, what did you guys think of the show? Jordan, I'm going to start with you and we're going to go around. Jordan.
It was all right. It should have been better booked. The matches, like the order of the matches. Other than that, really liked it.
Asa, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. Even the Divas match was, it was kind of short, but it was still okay. Like, but that was like the worst thing you can say about it is it was okay.
And I thought, you know, now that you mentioned that the whole event, it seemed like there were less matches on this show than there have been in a long time. There's what, 4 matches, 5 matches altogether?
Well, to be fair, though, those Elimination Chamber matches each went
10, 20, 30 minutes.
They always do.
2 chamber matches, Divas match, Cena match.
Championship. Adrian and Bo.
And Bo.
Okay, so 6 matches. That's about average, yeah. Tanner, what'd you think, buddy?
I agree. It should have been, could have been better written.
We say that about every show, I feel.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was a good show. Maybe the matchup should have been in a different order for me.
They should have been in a different order. Yeah, yeah. I agree completely on that. Big Johnny, what'd you think?
When the pizza was the most exciting part of the night.
Oh, well, no, to be fair, we have to put that in context for the listeners. Well, no, we have to put it in context. John had never had Marco's before.
That's right.
Okay.
So it was like.
It was a life-changing experience.
It was like tasting the blood of Christ for the first time.
Okay.
He's been baptized. Well, baptized in the
Greek. Baptized in pizza sauce. Yeah. But the overall event you liked, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you, for coming out and watching with the Johnny. Of course, you have an open invitation anytime you want to come out here. And thanks for sneaking onto the show.
That's right. Thank you.
We won't mention what happened last time Big Johnny was on the show.
This is the part in the show where you put the clip in, the audio clip from the last show I was on.
But he burned those. He somehow was able to burn the MP3 files.
The cyber police came and took them all. I don't know what happened to them. I was shocked, as anybody. What was the first match on the show?
The
pre-match. I want to talk about the pre-show. Pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
Because here we are sitting down. We're hanging out, as we always are, at Gaming Grounds here, watching, getting ready for this big event. And Zack Ryder comes out. The Zack Ryder. 5 years ago, my favorite wrestler in the whole Federation, probably. And he's fighting Stardust, a.k.a. Mr. Sinister. And I assumed that Zack Ryder might actually get a victory after the match he had with John Cena and the big rumors of him going to NXT and maybe finally getting something going. And he lost, of course, to a guy that couldn't even beat his own meat.
Couldn't beat R-Truth last week?
Yeah. Just like Tamina beat the champion and then was not in the championship match. Because of logic, Asa. Don't stare at me like you don't know what's going on.
I know exactly what's going on. You're just saying all the things that are in my brain.
Zack Ryder loses to Stardust. Is it time for Zack Ryder to get future endeavored at this point? Or can they still sell merchandise?
Well, I think at this point we're building towards making Stardust look strong because of the new rumor that he'll be fighting Stephen Amell at SummerSlam.
I hope so.
That actually, I checked 411 Mania's, he has actually shot that down.
Well, you gotta say it the way he said it, though. He said, no, it's not true, Cody doesn't want any part of me. Which is more or less saying...
Which just sounds like it's a...
Like he's taunting shit, him, shit kind talk. Of. Yeah, yeah, shit talking. So I absolutely believe they're going to do something with him.
Okay, my apologies.
Really,
I didn't.
But
I no, you're absolutely right. The story is right. That's what he said. But the way he said it, I think.
Well, I mean, it's true though. Like, what interaction has Cody Rhodes had with Stephen Amell? Stephen Amell's had a problem with Stardust.
Oh God!
Have you been on Twitter?
No, Tanner, don't feed the troll.
No, Cody Rhodes hasn't been seen in WWE TV since.
Oh, you can't, fuck!
Don't feed the troll. He's, come on, man.
Who's Cody Rhodes?
He's a
Cody.
I miss him. I wish he'd come back.
I did too. I thought he was a great wrestler.
Stardust is even using his finisher now.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing.
They call it something stupid, but.
I think he's banging his wife too. Eden Styles.
Those looks that Eden Styles shoots Stardust.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There is something there.
I mean, I would rape her.
And here we go.
Oh, wow. And so, you're worried about what I'm going to say?
Okay.
Yeah.
Miss TV and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, Miss TV and Daniel Bryan. Well, let me just say Zack Ryder and Stardust. Good, decent match. Stupid ending.
I disagreed with you thinking that Zack Ryder could win because they were treating that match against Cena like it was his WrestleMania career defining moment, even though he lost to the first AA and had a weaker showing than pretty much every
anybody
other
else.
Person
yeah.
that's done the open challenge.
I'm pretty
challenge.
Sure Heath Slater could come out there and have a better showing than Zack Ryder would have that match.
So I don't. But, and then also his NXT stint is he's teaming with Mojo Rawley.
Oh, sorry. Do you not stay hype?
I do not. Because, no.
You need to work on your hype levels.
Do you even my get hype?
Do you even hype, bro?
You guys watch the show with me. I keep my cool. I don't react to things.
Oh, no.
I'm very level-headed.
No. Very.
All the time.
He says, yet if we went back and watched the footage from about, I don't know, 30 minutes ago.
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Moving on to Miz. And was Miz and Bryan next?
Yeah.
Or was there a match?
No,
did the show not start with a match?
No, it was just the Miz. Well, that was the pre-show. The first match of the night
so we're still
the,
on the pre-show.
Yeah, the pre-show.
I thought there was a second shot in the pre-show.
I actually missed this part. I forget where I was, but I did not
get to
see this.
You guys went
to
Dollar General to get snacks.
That's right, yeah. And when
I
came back...
It was literally nothing segment. Appeared. It was the exact same thing that Miz did the last time Daniel Bryan was on Miz TV, where Miz took credit for all of Daniel Bryan's success because
he was his coach in NXT.
Because he was his coach in NXT. Yeah. And
meta powers.
Well, yeah, and that's
And they talked about Daniel Bryan has a book coming out in July, so he plugged that, and then the Meta Powers came out. And
Micro Powers.
The Meta Powers came
Micro
out.
Micro Powers.
The Meta Powers came out.
I don't think
Sasha
they can agree what they want to call it.
No, she's not. What's that, John?
They can't agree what they want to call it. Sometimes I see them say Meta Power, sometimes I see them say Mega Power.
I see them say Jobbers.
They do just call them the Mega Power sometimes, which is kind of annoying.
Well, all right, so Sandow comes out. He gets some heat back on Miz again after Miz beats him the 50th time. And, like, if you're going to keep this storyline going, you think they would have given Sandow a victory at some point.
Well, and to back up to the intro to Miz TV was Summer Rae
coming
into the ring and just singing the praises of the Miz.
I'm pretty sure Summer Rae is ratchet.
After she turned heel against in that match where they fought for the title of who got to use the Miz moniker.
Yeah.
And then... neither of them were seen again because Miz went and filmed another movie, and she just
and
was not on
TV
at all.
I love how the Miz said, you know, he had that big Hollywood thing where he was like, I was off filming my new movie, Santa's Little Helper.
Which is great.
Good for you, buddy.
Because he's a villain, and he's a great villain.
And that's
I still love the Miz character.
Movie too.
I love the Miz character.
I have not seen, you know, his feud with Sandow over the name Miz. Best feud over a name I've ever seen since Booker T and Ahmed Johnson fought over the letter T.
T, yep. Yeah.
Where was Mr. T in that feud? He was the originator
his
of
mother.
T. He does love his mother.
Mother.
First match of the night, I believe, was the tag match.
Yep.
Tag match.
Which was...
started with a bang.
Pretty good. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Am I the only one that thought that?
To me, it felt clustered. I loved it. Like, I thought it was great, but there were so many people in the ring.
Yeah, there's too much.
Point.
Too many cooks. Mm-hmm.
Still don't understand why, if two teams, somebody has a pin, why are you going to break it up if you're not on that team?
Yeah,
but that was the Ascension that did that, right?
Yeah, the Ascension broke up a
ain't
team.
Smart.
No.
The Ascension wasn't the only ones that did it.
They ain't got no learning. Now, Jordan, I want to ask you about logic real quick. And I want you to talk directly in that microphone when
Here
you answer me. When one of the Mexicools was climbing up the cage, and he
like
climbed
10 years later, buddy.
He climbed up to the top of the cage, and then just dropped like a fucking Acme anvil on the umbrella below him. What was the point of that? And it took, by the way, it took 20 minutes for him to get up there. Did you, as a basic person, that was a little more insulting than I meant that to be.
Thank you.
As a wrestling fan, Were you impressed by that? Did you go, well, that was cool, or did you go, that was pointless?
Well, I think by the time, you know, he was building up all his finishers, so by the time he got to the very top and he dropped, he just wiped everybody out, which, by the way, he missed. I don't know if anybody caught that.
Yeah, he, like, hit that the mat. That was ridiculous. More. He went for his oh my God moment and missed.
He hit, like, the two people in the edge of the grouping.
That was a spot that sounded better on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked, him climbing up there and everything looked impressive.
It did, because I thought he was going
to
fall.
But when
the
whole it came
time.
To just, like, to the actual, like, splash that he did, that was a little.
And then they did the exact same thing a little bit later with Dorito.
Like 5 minutes later.
Yeah, except it made a little more sense because it's like the Ascension guys just stood there. And I was like, why are they just standing there waiting for him to fall? Because they caught him.
Yeah.
Because he's 2 foot three.
Used him as a projectile.
And threw him, yeah. I know you're not a fan of the primetime players, Asa. I was really hoping that they were going to win the match, even though I wanted New Day to win. I have a soft spot in my heart for Titus O'Neil. You know, and he... They had a good showing.
Yeah, the last part of the match where it was just the primetime players and the
oh, we actually
New
have
Day
the match.
Great.
We have the replay playing in the back right now with that exact match on it.
They just hit that triple quad sextuple.
Oh, the giant suplex
where they suplex the six people suplex the three members of New Day.
Yeah, it was impressive. And you know, happily, no one died.
Right.
I think that was a lot of this pay-per-view. We kept thinking, someone's going to die.
Because that could have gone really wrong, really
bad. That could have gone south bad. In a sport where a basic move could kill you, something like that could hyper-kill you.
The part that's
it
on
would
the
kill your spirit.
The part that's on the replay right now is when the announcers made the big deal about Xavier Woods being locked back into the pod after they'd been out. Except they just shut it. They did absolutely nothing to actually lock it or keep him in there.
Well, who shut it? I forget. Was it Cesaro and Kid?
Yeah, it was Cesaro and Kid.
Well, maybe they do things differently in them freak countries like Canada and Switzerland.
Bizarro world.
Yeah. But here in America, we know how to open doors from the inside. Except for that lady that locked herself inside of her car. Remember that? That was pretty embarrassing. Not really a accurate representation of American ingenuity there. New Day won, surprisingly. I thought they were going to lose there for a while. I did.
I'm legit happy they won.
Well, it's a New Day.
New Day rocks.
At the end, it was all black guys in the ring. John, let's talk about this.
Can we not go there?
All right, well, Lisa Gray, yes, signing off. You guys enjoy the rest of your night.
I forget who said it, but there in the last match, someone said, hey, the black guys are going to win. The crowd seemed dead by that point, though. Like, they could care less about the primetime players, and New Day is
the
debatable.
New Day, they were chanting New Day sucks pretty regularly. I think they were the crowd was legitimately deflated because of the face teams that are in the match. You have the Lucha Dragons, you have the Matadores, who no one cares about at all.
And barely, I felt like they were barely in it.
And
it was just an excuse for Torito to do something stupid. Yeah.
Which I did. I really liked that Torito waited until the Matadores were out of their pods before he actually did anything, because he was just sitting on top of the pod the whole time.
Like it was like that episode of The Simpsons where that one member of the Yakuza was standing around doing nothing, and they were like, oh, but he's just standing there. I know he's going to do something cool. I think the reason no one cared at the end, they made a very stupid mistake. They had the primetime players put out Kid
Cesaro.
Yeah.
Because those are the big faces.
Right.
Those are the guys
that have been chasing the titles the last two months?
And the crowd
loves
them.
They get put out by the primetime players, and it's just like, crowd dies.
Yeah, because now you've got face team that just put out the face team versus the heels, and now they're both heels.
Right.
Now the crowd doesn't really care who wins.
I would have switched primetime players and Lucha Dragons. I would have had primetime players go out first, and then... If you're going to have a team not be Tyson and Cesaro, it should have been the Lucha Dragons.
Well, if nothing else, they should have had New Day pin Tyson and Cesaro. Yeah. Or Tyson and Cesaro. Mm-hmm. Don't have the players pin them, because then the crowd doesn't want them to win.
And I think part of the problem with the primetime players, too, and I always harp on this, is they don't really have a character. They were imitating and mocking all of the other tag teams, but up until like 2 weeks ago, they just completely stopped that. Now they're back to...
Are you talking about primetime players? Or is...
Yeah, primetime players. They were doing the whole segments where they were... making fun of the way the Ascension did their promos and New Day. And
they used to just be sports guys, right? Like they were millions of dollars guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're not even that anymore. They're just.
They're just back together for no reason. And again, did we squander a possible, hey, you know who should have come back for this match? Harper and Rowan. Again, Harper and Rowan don't show up. Are they a tag team officially? Are they not a tag team? What's going on?
Well, I wasn't on the prediction show, but that was I expected Harper and Rowan to do like Edge did to Kofi and take out the Matadores before the match started and then just lock themselves in the pod.
I think Double H said that too. Like he also predicted, or maybe it was Zach, who unfortunately couldn't be here tonight because he wasn't feeling well. So it's unusual to do a wrestling show without Zach. I think this is the first time we've ever done a wrestling show without Zach.
Yeah.
We've done them without everyone else here, except for me, of course, because I, you know, own the fucking thing.
For now.
For now, until I can finally pawn it off on Hunter
Hendricks. Until HH is...
Yeah.
There's so many rumors flying around about that.
It would be a better show. It would be a better show.
We're all
agreed. Yeah. New Day wins, and then something else happened. I don't remember the card in order.
It was, and then the next match was actually the Divas match.
Was it really the Divas match?
Yep.
That quick in the show?
Yep, mm-hmm. Second match.
That was a mistake.
Well, no, the first chamber match lasted 23 minutes, almost 24.
I can see that.
So.
Did we keep Brie in the back tonight so she wouldn't be screaming out, come on, Nikki, come on, Nikki.
Come on, Nikki. I know that's your favorite part
come
of the
on,
show.
Come on, Nikki.
Yeah.
Come on, Nikki.
But hey, you know what? She's champion, so it's working.
I mean, but is it, though, because she wasn't there? She won it anyway without the, come on, Nikki. Although she was probably backstage just, like, screaming it at the top of her lungs.
Yeah, and you could hear it all the way from in the ring.
Pick it up, yeah. Thankfully.
Maybe she was Skyping her, you know.
Come on, Nikki.
Do you think they're just holding the belt on Nikki until they can bring someone up from NXT?
Honestly, I think they should do, like, a Nexus thing where all of the NXT divas just come up and are like, yeah, you guys should go fine-tune what you do, and we'll just be up here doing actual wrestling.
I don't see that ever happening.
Oh, no, it won't, because not until Triple H is officially in charge of Raw.
Maybe Lana will be champion eventually.
I think you're keeping the belt on the Bellas right now because of Total Divas.
Oh, yeah, because they're the stars there. Well, plus, did they ever confirm or deny that the Bellas are leaving?
I was going to say, I don't think they re-signed a contract, and I think they've come out and said they're not going to re-sign.
So maybe they're just keeping the titles on them, and when they leave, it'll be their final thing, you know? But either way, it was also a decent match. Nikki Bella won.
It was kind of sloppy. Like, there was a lot of spots that we were missed.
Especially Paige missed something pretty big, because I remember her going to grab somebody and missing completely.
Yeah.
Wasn't that when Nikki jumped off the top rope
or
something? Yeah,
it looked like Naomi ducked it, and Paige was supposed to catch it, but then Paige missed it.
Oh, everybody missed.
It was a bad match. It was sloppy.
Yeah.
It wasn't really. And especially, like, I feel bad for him having to come off of that NXT match last week. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch match was just phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm a defender of Nikki Bella. You and I have argued about Nikki Bella before. But even if I defend Nikki Bella, even if they gave her the time and said, go out and do what you can do, there's no way she could put on a match like Becky Lynch Sasha Banks did, you know? I don't think Naomi or probably even Paige could put on a match that good. Because Paige, when she was in NXT, she was never that good.
Yeah, her matches were tended to be shorter. But I think that might have even been before Triple H really kind of...
took over.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe there was an NXT before Triple H.
Yeah.
You know? That's how good it was. But yeah, decent enough match. And I think the next one was the big one, wasn't it? Is that the one we want to save?
So we'll skip over.
We'll skip that. What was the match after that?
That was Neville versus Bo Dallas. Yeah.
Oh, this will be quick.
this was the pizza match.
This was the pizza match.
It was a really good Neville match. Like, to me, Neville's matches are starting to get a little formulaic. Like, everything he does is impressive and insane, and I love it, but it's all kind of been...
just getting ready for the Red Arrow.
It's all kind of building up to the Red Arrow.
Yeah. If I can make another Simpsons reference, it's like when they're trying to teach him how to eat an orange, and Abraham or Abe Simpson just yells out, just eat the damn orange. Just do the damn Red Arrow. So we can go home.
Is Neville kind of becoming what Paul Heyman has described?
What did he describe?
About Brock Lesnar. The reason why you wouldn't want to watch a Brock Lesnar match every Monday night on Raw. Because imagine you're a child sitting in front of your Christmas tree and you can't wait to open that present. Well, that present is Brock Lesnar. Is that what Neville is becoming? Is Neville a Christmas present? Hey, should he only be opened once a month, once a pay-per-view? I mean, he is impressive as hell.
Yeah, he's a great high flyer. I will admit that I have not seen that many matches of Neville from NXT because I didn't actually start watching NXT religiously until 2 months ago.
I mean, Brodus Clay punched his teeth out in NXT.
Who?
Brodus Clay was in NXT for about 2 weeks before they
fired him.
Was he still doing his...
He was going back to being
a big bully. Right.
What he's doing in TNA now.
And just as a side note, they missed the boat on Brodus Clay. There's a guy that should have been money. Big guy with a personality and he can move. That should have been a monster heel
then
right there.
Then he walks out to Somebody Call My Mama.
And they recycled Ernest the Cat Miller's music.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about it. Who wrestled? Neville.
It was Neville and Bo Dallas. And Bo Dallas cut one of the first times I've been genuinely entertained by Bo Dallas, his little pre-match promo that he did on the way to the ring, because he's slowly drifting away from just being delusional, motivational speaker, which has kind of become New Day's thing,
right?
To now he's just kind of like a sociopath.
Which he should be. He looks like a sociopath.
Yes, he does. He looks like a creep.
Those two guys did some hell of a matches in NXT.
Yeah,
Neville, before they came up, they had several matches together that were really good.
Now that you mention that, John, I'm starting to think of how many wrestlers that are on the main roster now just a year or two ago were NXT wrestlers. Right. There are so many NXT people in the WWE now.
The Shield,
the
Wyatts.
The Shield, Wyatts, Neville.
Rusev.
Mm-hmm. Bo
Xavier
Dallas.
Woods.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how much the Big E.
Adam Rose.
Yeah, the NXT has really taken off. I mean, that really is the farm league to make the next superstar. It's amazing. This match was not a really great indicator of that because I thought it was good. But again, just like you said, it's a Christmas present. You're waiting for that one move. And anything headlocks for 10 minutes is a Randy Orton thing. He can pull that off. Bo Dallas cannot pull that off.
But it makes sense for Bo Dallas to keep the high flyer grounded. Yeah. That's the strategy there.
I think the other part to this was the match before that, the match that we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, yeah.
It took so much out of it. That's
where we had to get the pizza. We had to refuel.
The crowd was so out of it after. It was like, we just don't care.
And I honestly, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they were told, like, okay, you're following that match.
No matter what you do.
It would make sense for them to kind of go into a holding pattern.
Okay, yeah. History. What was the match that followed Undertaker Brock Lesnar?
Divas match.
And it was total shit.
No, nobody cared.
Yeah. Exactly. And you said
kids were still out in the crowd crying.
Yeah.
That black guy was still staring.
That black guy's face was stuck.
But I think he said it was either you or John or Jordan or Tanner or CJ or Billy or Jesse Kimball. Or Lindsay or anybody else that's here, said they should have switched that match with the Divas match. You should have had the Divas go on after that because it does not matter who you put out there. They're going to get a no reaction because the match that we dare not speak of, the Precious, was so...
the one to rule them all.
To be clear, though, like I'm not saying that because the Divas don't deserve a good spot and they should only be filler. But if they're not going to put the time and energy into the Divas like the NXT is...
Yeah, if you're not going to make us care about it, why should we care about
that
it?
That Divas match that they had go on second was the exact same Divas match we would have gotten the next pay-per-view and the pay-per-view before this.
On Raw, on anything.
So,
bad luck for Neville and Bo Dallas because I thought they put forth a good effort. And I actually was not completely detesting Bo Dallas. I'm trying to think of the nicest way to say this. For his character right now. If they keep this path going, I think I may actually change my tune on Bo Dallas.
If this version of that... Because he got shot in the foot coming up to Raw because his whole thing, his NXT gimmick, came from him being the face that was actually being shoved down people's throats.
Which I loved him in NXT.
He was a huge face.
Yeah.
Like he was supposed to be, but the crowd hated him. And no matter what he did, they still just never accepted him as
like
a face.
Like NXT. Or like New Day.
Yeah. And so, but instead of kind of redoing that story on Raw, they just assumed that everyone watches NXT and it just didn't stick because no one really knew what
Adam Rose.
No one really realized what his character was.
You can't just carry the gimmick over and expect everyone to go, oh, okay, that's who that is.
You can't go from a crowd of 200 people to a crowd of 20,000.
Right, expect the same reaction.
It's the same thing kind of with the Ascension. No one knows what their gimmick is.
Which, off topic for a second. Well, not off topic, but getting away from the paper for a second, I want to get an opinion. Do you think when Finn Balor eventually comes up, and Jordan, you were talking about this earlier about Finn Balor coming up, when he comes up, and let's say he does the amazing interest that we all love, will anybody know it? Will they care? Or is it going to be like Bo Dallas and Adam Rose, where some people will know it, some people won't, and it won't work in front of 20,000 people versus 200?
I think his gimmick is... His entrance, like, if he does just that entrance, and that's the first time you see him, like, I feel like he's probably someone who's going to get, like, a bunch of video packages, like, vignettes before he debuts. The people who know it will be into it and go along with it, and the people who don't know it, it's unique enough and cool enough that they'll instantly be hooked, versus just Bo Dallas coming out and...
Well, see, I thought the same thing about Adam Rose, though. I thought Adam Rose's entrance was so unique that I thought the crowd... I thought it was going to work, and then he comes out there, and it did not work, but... My God, who was the first person he went against? Like, who was the guy the first guy he got in the ring? Was it Swagger? Pretty sure it was Jack Swagger.
There was a feud there. That was one of the early feuds. And I don't know if that was the first one, but it was an early one.
Well, he gets in the ring with Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. And you know their gimmick is that they're full-blood Americans. We don't like the queers and stuff like that. And then Adam Rose gets in there. No, don't look around, Tanner. I said queers. That's an acceptable term.
I thought that was
term.
Ultimate Warrior's gimmick.
Well, he's dead now, so I took it. But Adam Rose gets in the ring, and he's sucking on the lollipop. He's got, damn it, Tanner. He's sucking on the lollipop. I can't talk about it. Let's just move on. He sucked on the lollipop like it was a penis.
He did.
Is what I'm trying to say. What the fuck was I talking about? I'm thinking about Tanner's asshole now.
We had moved on from Neville and Bo, because we were talking about Bo's character. Versus...
Right, yeah, yeah. Well,
Icy Chamber match.
The Icy Chamber match. That's a good one.
Don't
actually,
bring a lemon.
I need to go grab my phone real quick because Hunter Hendricks posted something on there to me to talk, you know, his thoughts on it. So I'm going to go grab that real quick. While I'm grabbing that, you guys talk amongst yourselves about the Icy match.
We can talk. Go get your phone.
I'm going right now. Hey, guys, I'll be right back. Here's the squad.
Okay. Well, because the big news coming from before the Chamber match started was Rusev being injured by Ryback. And so there was a mystery replacement. Yeah, they didn't announce who was actually going to take Rusev's spot in the Chamber match. And Jordan called it. Who ended up replacing Rusev?
I can't say, but there were a couple of rumors. One was Finn Balor, which I think would have been awesome. But at the same time, I don't know if going into the Chamber match as your first match would have been nice. But it would have been cool for him to see on a pay-per-view.
Not if he was going to lose, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. But wins and losses don't matter. That should just be a whole show. We should just do a show on that.
They did for a certain somebody we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Mark Henry was the entrant, the surprise mystery. Yeah. Which a lot of people thought was going to be Bray Wyatt.
I would have preferred.
Any opinions on why they chose Mark over Bray?
Because they don't know what the fuck they're doing with Bray Wyatt.
Or
they
the other Wyatt.
They have a press. Yeah. They have a license to print money, and they are just... Well, they're letting it collect dust.
I want to say I think they also don't know what the fuck they're doing with Mark Henry, because in no way should Mark Henry ever be a throwaway. Hey, we just added this guy to the match. Mark Henry, yeah, I mean he's in his age now, but he's still the Hall of Pain. He's a big
world's strongest
guy.
Man.
Yeah,
has he been around long enough that his guaranteed contract should be over with by now? Because they signed him 10 years when they signed him.
Mark Henry's been there a long time. I think, other than Kane, isn't he the long... And
Kane,
Triple H.
Kane, Triple H, yeah. And Big Show, and...
He's been there the longest.
I think he predates Big... Well, in WWE, he predates Big Show.
Right, right. So, yeah.
I think it was a year or two ago or something like that, he came out and said, I'm not going to renew my contract. So whenever this contract is up for Mark Henry, he's done.
But I think he's still locked into a pretty long contract.
Yeah, because there was that big rumor that he was going to retire, and then they turned that into a Cena story.
Right. Well, that by the way, that angle was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was.
Mark Henry was amazing.
I felt sorry for Mark Henry.
Yeah,
just for a couple seconds.
For a couple seconds, like,
I felt sorry for him.
The crowd was cheering. I mean, if listeners out there, if you've never seen it, go look it up. Mark Henry's retirement speech. That shows you why Mark Henry is a fantastic talent. Really good.
Can I find that on the WWE Network for just $9.99?
For free.
For free.
When was the last time they fucking charged for that
thing? For free for the next hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plus, they've got another pay-per-view in 2 weeks. That is four in 8 weeks. So they're doing two, what? They're doing two a month now.
Well,
this one was just because of the IC.
Yeah, there's only this one because it's a special chamber match. And then last week was the NXT.
It still frustrates me. I want to point out Double H Hunter Hendricks, personal friend.
local celebrity.
No name dropping.
The IC title match was the disappointment of the night, from the surprise entrant, Mark Henry, all the way to the winner, which was Ryback.
Fuck that.
Ryback.
Okay.
And a lot of people.
You just name dropped. Am I allowed to name drop?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I would like to name drop a certain other super awesome DJ that happens to work for another radio station.
Ah, Justin Mann.
No, he doesn't anymore. A certain super sexy voiced female DJ that works weekends on 100.7 KGMO.
Oh, I don't. Can we mention 100.7 KGMO on the show?
I would like to cut a promo on 100.7 KGMO if we are, because they do the deep cut.
Oh God, we've done this argument a thousand times. Let's not go
okay,
there.
Let me just go ahead and explain.
Say that
it's
name.
My wife, okay? My wife.
I love my wife,
Christy K. Weekends 100.7 KGMO.
Haven't seen her in a while. You know, she doing okay?
She's doing okay.
I just assume she hated me. Yeah. I assume that about everybody when they don't talk to me for a couple weeks.
She just doesn't want to watch
wrestling. I know Kevin Casey hates me. Oh, fuck, I should have said his name.
See,
take it out of post. Fix it in post.
He could have listened to this.
He could have listened to this and someone's
and he could
have
been like, hey, we got equal mention just like, you know, the other radio station.
That's true.
But then you had to go and fuck it up. You had to go and fuck it up.
I can bleep it out in editing because I don't want him sticking his lawyers on me. God.
Oh, you mean like the last time?
Like last time I mentioned his name. Hey, me and Kevin Casey met up. We made up.
I better shut
up
or I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, no, Kevin Casey's a good guy. We made up. I like Kevin Casey. I miss him coming in. But yeah, Hunter said, and it's always weird to talk about the two radio stations and all the personalities because I feel like I'm in a tug of war because I like both of them. Anyway, yeah.
What's number one on your preset, Shannon?
Pandora.
Look at that.
Spotify. hey, Ryback. Whoa. Ugh. I didn't see it happening. I thought Sheamus was going to win.
Super sappy story at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. What was it? He went to a gas station. Somebody needed some money. He got a handy. What?
he lost his match, and a little kid probably was a Make-A-Wish kid. Clearly, 8 weeks. It was the ghost.
He was 2 days away from retirement, if you know what I mean.
The ghost of Connor came and
damn it.
Hey, God, you are going to a dark place.
But why did you lose? You're the good guy. He's like, well, sometimes the bad guys win. But no, I'm not going to let the bad guys win. Tonight, the good guy's going to win.
I can't talk
about
it.
We should have known from that point on that he was going to win.
That is so written bullshit. Yeah. That is such a made-up bullshit
Reddit.com/r/that happened.
My only other qualm with it is, I like the idea of having a six-man as a surprise because, Rusev was injured. But fuck, they came out with a surprise six-man to start off with. He was the first person to come out.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Why not build it up and then, well, who's the sixth guy
going to be? Who is it?
Yeah, and then Mark Henry. When Mark Henry's music hit, I just kind of went, oh, it's Henry. Jordan was right.
Cool. Yeah.
But was Jordan really right?
No, fuck
when
no.
When you
he
read a report on the internet,
report.
That's not making a guess, guys.
I told you. I gave credit.
To 411 Mania, who might as well fucking sponsor us at this point. we dropped their name so much. Hunter also said the Divas title match was there. Agreed.
Yeah.
And then after Ryback, it was a decent enough match. I didn't really like it. I'll be honest with you.
I was playing Saints Row.
You were. You
I
didn't
was
care.
Just so disinterested. Mark Henry had a lot to do with me not caring.
Are you not
I
a
like,
Henry fan?
I like Mark Henry. I really do. I didn't think he was going to win it.
Right.
R-Truth was in it. Also, there's no way he was going to win it.
No.
When you get buried on a match on Raw, but before the pay-per-view, yeah, you're not going to win the Intercontinental
title. Yeah, and then it's either going to be Ziggler's millionth title reign, Barrett's millionth title reign, or they give it to either Sheamus or Ryback. I really didn't expect Ryback to win.
I really didn't either.
I also, I know I said, I talked about this a lot before, like during the actual show. Why do you have Ryback lose the pay-per-view match, and then the guy who beats him doesn't get a title shot? The guy who beats Ryback at the pay-per-view doesn't even show up on Raw either of these weeks.
He's too busy plotting up against somebody.
He's got to make cryptic messages for the next face he's just going to randomly feud with.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to make that, that's still going to be a...
Oh, so maybe he'll feud with Ryback now for the title.
Maybe they'll pick it back up, but this time it's for the championship. But,
well, if they do, Ryback's just going to beat him.
I think one reason why they put the belt on Ryback is because they want the two secondary belts to be on big faces.
Who's got the other title again?
Cena.
Oh.
So we've got Cena and Ryback, two big faces.
But maybe not for long.
Haven't you read his shirt?
Spoiler, I win.
Is here.
Oh, right. Right. Tanner, you had a point to make there, and then all the people that talk louder than you start talking.
I can't remember. I can't remember what it was.
What about this dick?
He's not here, and you had to do it.
I'm sorry. I had to
Someone
read
has
it.
To.
Damn it.
Yeah. I think right after that was the title match, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get that out of the way before we talk about the real importance of the night. Title match, Ambrose. God damn it, I'm so fucking pissed off about that match. Screw the match. The match was what it was. It was a good match.
I thought it was a great match.
It was a great match.
Those guys always put on a...
Somebody said that they thought the Reigns was going to turn because of how buddy-buddy Reigns was with him.
John and yes. Yeah, we both did.
And that didn't
happen. I got
happen.
The beers. You
so
bring
now
the
it just goes to show that Reigns can't act now because
it
looked... I thought as horrible as he was doing it,
it was facetious.
It was to build towards an obvious heel turn.
Right.
And when that didn't happen, it just goes to show that Reigns has no actual real personality whatsoever. And he has no business ever holding a title.
That's why he should be the enforcer. He was the strong arm in the back that handled business. while the other guys talked.
Did you ever see the video of the opening? It was supposed to be the Titantron for Roman Reigns, and it was called The Rock's Cousin.
Yeah, I did see that. It was just The Rock's music, but it said Rock's Cousin, and yes. pictures of them together.
I will say, I don't think it's like Roman Reigns' fault. I think
they should let him be himself. They're trying to force a personality on him, and
it's never the same. Sometimes he's the silent badass. Other times he's cracking jokes.
Yeah, he was telling a couple weeks ago. He told the story to Big Show. Remember, he was telling the story to Big Show, a fairy tale about Big Show, and I'm like, this is fucking awful.
Yeah, someone sat down who has never been in the same room as Roman Reigns and wrote this thing for him to say.
Roman Reigns is a physically intimidating guy. He has a great look. He's a handsome, good looking guy. Big muscles. He should be a star.
Great father.
Great dad. Who's his
dad? Not as good as Titus O'Neil.
He's a great dad. I just assumed The Rock was his dad. Because all them Samoans are related.
Is your family tree go straight up?
If your family tree... I'm not going to do a Jeff Fox with a joke. Never, ever.
I'm about to say,
show.
You don't need to do that joke from where you're from.
You need to do that joke.
I'm not doing it.
You country some bitch. big country. Oh. Oh,
damn it.
No.
You had to call me out.
So the real reason you were upset.
The real reason I was upset was the fucking finish. Because Rollins comes off.
Ambrose comes off the top.
Tanner called. Well, yeah. The fucking writing was on the wall after so long. And I was going to try to do this episode without saying the F word. Because I keep accidentally posting this show to Gaming Grounds Facebook. And then before I realize it, people have been listening to it. So I realized we say fuck so much, especially with Zach not here. Because with Zach here, every other word is fuck. Fuckity fuck, 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 fuck. You know?
Well, every other word is fuck, but because that other word is mother.
You know, I try not to say it, but it just slips.
It fucking slips.
It's a fun word to say.
Fucking
this dick. That's a different show. That's the My Little Pony episode. That's next week with Nate, Nasty Nate.
What day is that site now?
Nah. But the reason I'm upset, Ambrose comes off the top rope. Rollins pulls the referee in front of him. Referee goes down. Ref bump. That you see.
It's a solid bump, too.
It's a solid bump. You see this in every match. In the Attitude Era, like you said, especially. This was like every week. Another ref comes out.
Well,
after
Ambrose
they fought
hits
a little bit.
The dirty deeds.
Yeah, hits dirty deeds. Pins him.
Has Seth Rollins pinned. We just all assume
he's going to kick out.
He's
going to
kick out because it's like a 20 count.
Yeah.
Now the ref slides in.
One, two, three.
He pins him.
One, clean. Two, three. And everybody at the show, you know, here at Gaming Grounds got excited. And they're like, oh my God, Ambrose. And I just sat there with a stone face going, like, I fucking know. I'm going to get fucked on
Triple
this
H's
one.
Music is about to hit. That's what I was expecting.
Me too.
I was waiting for King of Kings to hit.
So Ambrose is holding the title. The crowd's going nuts. It's a great moment.
They have the graphic, new WWE champion.
And what
Ambrose.
Did I say? I said, until I see the copyright, I will not get excited.
Yep.
And after 5 minutes with no copyright, I knew something was going to happen. Sure enough, the ref says, because he got bumped, that Ambrose wins by disqualification. And what's just dumb about this is that they have made it a point in the past that when a referee makes a call, it sticks.
It's final.
And that's why they do rematches and stuff like that. But in WWE logic, they can change that whenever they want. This is the equivalent to me of Superman 1 week of Kryptonite powers him. And then 3 weeks later, it kills him. You know, you can't change the rules on the fly. It's stupid. It angers me. Stop staring at me.
I know it's fake,
but it pisses me off.
No, you're right. And also, it makes less sense. Okay, so say the referee is angry that Seth Rollins put him in danger and made him take that hit. Wouldn't it make more sense to enforce the second referee's decision because that actually makes him lose the championship?
Yes!
Not if he's being influenced by the authority.
Well, that's it. But see, they didn't even make a point of that.
Yeah. No.
Like, if the authority had...
And they're not going to make a point of that. It's
this
a loophole.
Seemed like it was him angry, and he's like, no, he was disqualified because he pulled me. He pulled me. He's disqualified. So maybe he's just like a super stickler for the rules because that happened first.
This is a ref that sticks by his guns.
Yeah, he was... But
you
yeah, so that was...
Son of a bitch.
I never thought of it like that, though. Yeah, if he wants to punish Rollins for bumping him, Rollins just lost anyway, and he lost the title. Why would you? Oh, my God, it makes me so mad. Hunter Hendricks said he absolutely called the WWE title match result, even if he doesn't like it, so he's calling it a win. Well, folks, I think everyone loses in this match.
I equated it to Chris Jericho pinning Triple H for the WWE.
And Triple H threatening to break the arm of the ref.
Yeah, unless he reversed the decision, because that the crowd here, this was the loudest they were.
Well,
other than
not counting what we're going to talk about,
but this was the first time they really perked up. and they actually got on their feet and cheered. Like, this was a huge, this could have been a huge moment.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, that crowd, when he pinned Triple H, went insane.
Because that was his first title run, too.
That was his It would have been. It was before he beat The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night.
Yeah. It's infuriating. Like, why not put the strap on Ambrose?
But as soon as the only reason I thought they might actually let it stick was because they announced the lineup for the Money in the Bank match. And
already.
Dean Ambrose wasn't in that. So I assumed there was going to be a rematch, and it could have been maybe that Seth Rollins rematch.
Yeah, which it actually probably still will be.
Yeah.
Because now. Because
Dean Ambrose left.
Ambrose left with the belt.
Reigns came out and helped him fend off J&J and Kane.
Which is still cool to see Reigns and Ambrose
together. I still really enjoyed them as friends.
Yeah.
I think that's a great little. Yeah. You know? And that's why I really don't hope they turn Reigns heel.
So. We know we're probably going to have two rematches in 2 weeks.
One's confirmed.
So,
one's been confirmed.
Did this pay-per-view even really mean anything?
It did, and it did for the reason we're just about to talk about. The what should have been the main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, match of the night.
I'll say,
match
I disagree
of the fucking
with that.
Month.
I don't think this is, I don't think, the way that the crowd responded to it, and like the way it went, and like the emotional investment that we all had for it, absolutely, like, for us, it was like the emotional main event. But there's no way a singles debut match
should be better
should
bigger
be
than
ranking
the world title.
Than either the world title or the Intercontinental Championship.
But yet, and you made this point on during the pay per view when CM Punk was champion, they constantly bumped him for Cena main events.
And it was infuriating when they did it.
And do you remember a couple of months ago during one of the post shows, I asked you on the podcast, I said, you know, What happened to Punk before, you know, should he be bitter about that? Because now they've reversed it. Now Cena's actually mid-card, whether he's mid-card or not. He's on the mid-card.
Right.
And they're actually letting the world title be the world title in the main event. But it feels like when Punk was champion, they did not do it.
Yeah, they just didn't have the faith in Punk.
Which is ridiculous.
That's a whole other show, though.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
We got a lot of goodness to talk about.
And the goodness is Kevin Owens versus John Cena. And I really wish Zach had been here for this match because he would have flipped shit more than we did, probably. Yeah. And we flipped shit.
He may or may not have jumped and embraced.
I'm pretty sure I broke up with Lindsay and you and I are engaged now.
It's true.
So I just got to check.
Sorry.
I think there was some major dry humping going on.
It wasn't dry.
I want to pull up the surveillance video and actually watch that again because that was hilarious.
Two surveillance moments tonight.
Yeah.
And I was involved in both. That's just the kind of talent I have. It's the same kind of talent that wins guitar contests, you know?
On the preview show with Hunter on Wednesday, I said Kevin Owens was going to win, and I think everybody else thought I was crazy.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert,
gosh,
brony.
Damn, man, we didn't even get that far yet.
Let's talk about before that. No, all right. Big spoiler, Kevin Owens won.
Clean.
Against John Cena.
Amazing match.
It went back and forth. Like, neither guy had anything to be ashamed of in this match. Say what you will about John Cena. He is amazing. And this match showed that because he took a lot of punishment. It was even. It's not like Cena beat the shit out of him and then Owens got a lucky hit in.
Right.
No, Owens went toe-to-toe with him and belonged there.
This match did exactly what it was supposed to, which was you should be turning on the WWE Network Wednesday night and watching NXT.
Yep.
Because you can't see NXT anywhere else.
No, and you should be watching Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
You should be watching every single
person. Oh, my God. For however much time he has on
NXT
right
now. This match... if you have never watched NXT before and you see this guy come in and cleanly beat John Cena, you need to be watching NXT.
What's going on down there?
You need to be watching NXT.
Must see TV.
Especially following that amazing match Sami Zayn had with John Cena.
Yeah.
As an NXT guy.
And Neville, I think, also had a great match with John Cena.
Neville had a great match every week.
That was like the week after he came up, though. It was after the Raw.
Right. I think that was his first loss, actually.
Yeah. But they did a great job of protecting the Red Arrow because Cena didn't actually take it.
And they did a good job of protecting John Cena in this match because, again, he had nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, yeah.
The match itself, so good. The moves were so varied.
From both.
The only move that made me question was the backpack stunner. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
But everything else was crisp. The clotheslines were vicious. That
double flip,
the fisherman suplex off the top rope by Owens. We're watching the match right now on a replay, everything was so good. Like, this match could not have been better, I don't think. And there were so many near falls. And for the first time in a long time I can remember, with every near fall, we were on our feet going, oh, my God. I slid out of the couch at one point and thought I couldn't stand back up.
Well, and I thought, like, I was kind of the opposite of Jordan. Jordan went in expecting or thinking Owens was going to win. I was the exact opposite. I thought Owens was going to get himself disqualified. Or right before the match started, Michael Cole said that Kevin Owens says that he has absolutely nothing to prove.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was just like, well, shit. He's going to take an AA. He's going to roll out of the ring and just get himself counted out.
Yeah, because you remember what happened when he fought Sami Zayn at the first time they fought on NXT, the pay-per-view. I forget which one it was.
He ran from him
him and tricked him and beat him that way.
Yeah.
But I expected the same thing. I expected Owens to walk out on Cena, thereby insulting him to carry the feud.
And right. Spoiler alert, this is how the Kevin Owens Samoa Joe feud is starting.
He's back down from
Oh, he chicken shit out of him.
He backs down.
But fair, both of those were after, like, big matches, too.
Yeah, but he did not back down from John Cena. We waited for it and waited for it. And then he hit the pop-up power bomb. Cena kicked out. Cena hit the attitude adjustment. And you got upset.
Yeah, like, just, well, to me, it was because I still, at this point, like, and it was getting me. Like, I was thinking, oh, wow, maybe Owens might win this.
I remember
and
then you I was saying.
Like, well, crap, I'm getting mad now because they're making me think he might win. And there's no way it's going
to
happen.
You said to me, you're like, why do I think he's going to win? Why do I think he's going to win?
Yeah.
And then he kicked out of this. He kicked out of that. Cena kicked out. Owens kicked out. It's back and forth. I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. And then the second pop-up powerbomb, because we thought, oh, good, you're going to debut Kevin Owens and then have Cena kick out of his finisher.
Yeah.
That'll make him look good. But second pop-up powerbomb pinned him clean. And we lost our shit. The room erupted.
When Kevin Owens went for the Swanton off the top rope and Cena kicked out, I was like, well, now Cena's going to win.
Right, It
was literally like, okay, there's no way that Cena's going
to
lose.
It was starting to look like, oh, Super Cena rides again.
Right. Yeah.
Because Cena kicked out of first pop-up powerbomb, kicked out of the attitude adjustment, kicked out of the Swanton bomb, kicked out of the weird, it was like a package powerbomb, because it looked like he was setting him up for his package power driver.
Yeah. But again, knowing that he might kill John Cena.
Yeah, I was like, I made the joke. I was like, oh, he was just like in the groove and like, oh, this is time to hit the big move. Oh, wait, they will fire me immediately if I hit him with this. So powerbomb time.
I like the change, though. That was an interesting move.
It was a good move.
It looked good.
Well, that's the thing about this match is like there were so many different moves that they've never pulled out before. And if you've never seen Kevin Owens wrestle before, it was fresh. Like you were going, whoa, what is this guy doing? Like you said, I need to tune into NXT on Wednesday. The NXT champion just beat the WWE United States champion, who just happens to be the biggest star probably in the history of the WWE.
And with John Cena losing, what does that do for John Cena?
It means he had nothing. He lost a good match against a guy that he elevated.
Yep.
Hey, Vince, wins and losses don't matter, remember?
Well, and so here's the thing, though. They've already confirmed that there's a rematch in 2 weeks at Money in the Bank.
I'm scared.
So does Cena get his win back and they go for the rubber match? Or do you think that this could be kind of John Cena's Tommy Dreamer Raven feud, that he's the guy that he can't beat?
I think this match will go exactly like his match with Brock Lesnar did. Remember the first match he lost to Lesnar? The second match he came back and fought even harder, but he lost due to some bullshit. I think it's going to be the same thing. I think this is the match you will see Samoa Joe or
some gimmick
Finn Balor. Something will happen at the end to get Kevin Owens off of TV.
When does the big summer storyline usually kick in? Because usually, like, every year there's
I think it's around Money in the Bank time.
Because it was, because that's when CM Punk, like, it was pretty much like it would be the equivalent of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Would be when he cut the pipe bomb promo.
And then
that went into the summer of Punk again.
Yeah.
So
now you're going to have the summer of
Owens.
So
do you think there's going to be something coming to play at Money in the Bank, or do you think we're going to see it on Raw?
I think
if they do one this year.
I think what they should do is they should have Owens look strong and then take that strength back down to NXT and keep him away from the main roster.
See, and that's what I like whenever he won, like how great would it be he comes out tomorrow night if they hadn't like assuming they hadn't already announced the rematch.
Right.
He just comes out tomorrow night and he's like, "I have had one match in WWE main roster. I beat your biggest and best star.
See you later.
Check me out on Wednesdays."
Right. Where the real competition is.
Yeah.
Or you go, Monday night. I'm Kevin Owens. I'm the NXT champion. I just beat John Cena. Bring it on. I can beat anybody on Raw. Plus, I'm going to go down and do NXT on Wednesday.
Have him do a dual supremacy. Well, okay, let me ask you guys this. John, I think that's a great point that they should do that, that have him be, hey, I'm the NXT champion. I'll take on anyone in NXT and Raw, whatever. Do you think Kevin Owens is that guy? Do you think Kevin Owens should be that guy?
He has a demeanor about him like he could pull something like that off.
He does, but, I mean, let's play devil's advocate for a second and pretend we're Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon sees Kevin Owens, and he probably sees Kevin Owens as an out-of-shape guy who looks like he wrestles out of his basement.
I'm
going
to disagree with that just because of
what we saw
the
tonight.
Fact that he...
Well, do you think Triple H was in his ear?
Absolutely.
Do you think Triple H was saying, Vince, please,
without
give me a chance?
Absolutely. 100%. I think this has a lot to do with Triple H's influence.
Yeah. Maybe he pretended to be Vince McMahon.
just the fact that...
Kevin Dunn, it's going long.
Hey, it's Vince. Make the audible.
You know, just the fact that Triple H has his own little baby that he can go down and call his own that Vince doesn't touch.
Yet. Because they said that there's going to be a full touring second brand soon. That's what they want
for
it.
That's the goal.
Yeah. And, John,
how awesome would it be?
Well, I was going to say, do you think they'll pull it off? Or do you think if Vince McMahon gets his claws into this, suddenly NXT looks a lot like SmackDown?
Well, let's look at everybody that's come up from NXT. How many of those have succeeded and how many have failed? Bo Dallas, I would call a failure at this point.
Adam Rose, failure.
Adam Rose, I would call a failure. Ascension is getting real close to being called a failure.
Rusev was a success.
I still would count him as a success because we don't know what they were going to do with him tonight. He got injured.
True.
So.
And he could come back strong. The jury's out.
Rusev was more than a year-long winning streak.
We can't figure out what we're going to do with the Wyatts right now.
The Wyatts are a success and then a failure. Then a success, then a failure. They go back and forth.
All three of the Shield guys,
wild success. Yeah. Kevin Owens tonight made. Like Hunter texted me and said Kevin Owens is a fucking star at this point.
I imagine at the end of this match, this was one of those classic WWE matches where all the boys were in the back behind the curtain.
Oh yeah,
just waiting for them to come back and just applauding them.
And I guarantee
when they walked back through the curtain,
I guarantee you the first person that Kevin Owens walked back and saw was John Cena, who probably shook his hand and said,
"Oh yeah,
good job."
Because there wasn't a huge, you know, Cena staring in disbelief.
No,
it was Cena rolled out of the ring and was backstage. Kevin Owens got to cut his promo. It was all about Owens,
which was great because Kevin Owens said, "I've got some veteran advice for you."
Yeah, that's the first one.
Yeah. Well, you know, kudos to John Cena for being a great champion. I don't care what anyone says, John Cena. There's a reason he's on top still, even when he's not on top, and that's because he is John Cena. There will never be another John Cena. You know.
Well, you know, when you're approaching 15 years in the business like John Cena is, you almost have to get to that point where you have to realize it's time for me to help put over other guys.
Hulk Hogan never learned that.
Brother? What do you mean put somebody over?
I don't go to Battle Creek.
talking about NXT going to become its own brand, this is something that I saw on Reddit and I've actually kind of wondered before. Right now, the NXT roster includes Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, Tyler Breeze, Samoa Joe now. You have
Rhino.
All these like really established names from the indie scene and kind of the self-groomed guys like Tyler Breeze and, you know, to a lesser extent like Baron Corbin. In a year's time, when all of these guys are on the main roster, do you think that NXT is still going to have enough momentum? Like, are they going to just have a clean replacement for Owens?
I think they will find. I think Triple H is smart.
Are they going to keep pulling? Is it because it's a really nice combination of people that they've plucked from the independent scene and people from their own developmental pool?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think of all the people that are in the indies that they could pull.
See, but that's the thing is, I the top of my head is like Adam Cole.
Yeah,
you have Red Dragon,
the Briscoes.
I don't know
if they'd sign, but I mean, Triple H. If nothing else, Triple H has proved that he is the king. Of kings, of course, but of rebuilding bridges. And, I mean, look what he did with Bruno Sammartino, what he did with the Ultimate Warrior.
Trips also has a really good brain trust.
Yeah.
He's got Brian James. He's got, you know, Billy Gunn, his two big brain trust guys. He's also got Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. William Regal's
got old school guys, and he's got guys from the Attitude Era. So he's got guys like Noble and Mercury who are also his guys behind the scenes as well. He's got a good mix of old school, new school, current school that really know what to look for.
And plus, I mean, let's not discredit Triple H. He's been in the business a long time, and everybody talks shit about him and says, well, he put himself over and this and that. But Triple H has a mind for the business. I honestly 100% believe Triple H lives, breathes, and dies for wrestling. Yeah. Not sports entertainment, but for wrestling.
A bodybuilder with a horrible gimmick called
Terrorizing
has become one of the biggest stars in wrestling. Yeah, give that guy some props.
Yeah, yeah,
give him some props.
And he's paying it forward.
Not only that.
It might have taken him a while to get there,
but there's the haters that say he slept his way into the corporate scene. But the fact of the matter is, it's been said millions of times before, Vince forbade that relationship.
Yeah.
And they went behind his back anyway.
That's like fucking the mafia boss's daughter behind his back. Yeah. When he finds out, he doesn't promote you to Don.
No.
He has you killed. Mm-hmm. So Triple H must have something going on.
The curtain call. Who was the one that got the punishment for the curtain call? It wasn't Shawn Michaels.
No.
It was Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H was supposed to win King of the Ring that year.
We talked about that.
Instead, it went to Austin.
And launched Austin's career. Yeah. One little mistake. It's amazing. It's that effect of, if I had been in a different place at a different time, what would have happened? Well, tonight, I think all the stars aligned. Everything went right, and the biggest star, Kevin Owens. Well, now we'll see what happens in 2 weeks, though. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens in 2 weeks, because this could all be undone if Cena just beats the shit out of him, pins him, and says, "Get back to NXT, bitch."
Puts him in a to OVW shipping crate.
just throws him into the NXT bus and pays the guy $5. Take him home.
Yeah,
We're gonna take this home. We're creeping up on an hour. It was a great show, Jordan. You got a point, though.
I do have one thing I want to add. Are you guys excited for the Paul Heyman Stone Cold podcast tomorrow night?
Thank God.
There is so much history there. The Dangerous Alliance.
I love the Dangerous Alliance.
I mean, there's so much
Paul
history.
Heyman.
Yeah,
so much history.
And this is gonna, you know, I like Chris Jericho, but did anybody watch the Jericho podcast?
Corporate Tool.
Yeah, that scarf told the whole story. Yeah. That scarf told the whole story. Will you not see a scarf? I wish I could wear a scarf that nice, but I can't. But this is going to be so much better. They are going to, all the shit that you want to hear them say, they will say, because Stone Cold doesn't hold back.
Well, Heyman was on...
Neither does Heyman.
Heyman was on Stone Cold's podcast about a year ago. Like, just his audio one that he puts out. Similar to the one we're doing right now.
With just as many listeners.
Right? Just about. But they did a two-parter, and it was fascinating. Just, like, they had so many stories just about the ECW days, and then, like, working together in WWE, and just, so I think it'll be a great, I'm curious to see if they kind of do, like, a reminiscing show like that, or if this is going to be, you know, okay, so what do you think, you know, Lesnar, are they going to kind of keep it maybe, not story-driven, because Austin doesn't, it's not going to be, you know.
I think the latter. I think Stone Cold's going to go into this. I think he has something to prove right now, because Jericho, apparently, according to what they say, his podcasts were watched more, or, you know, whatever, on the network. Apparently huge ratings, and everybody loved him. I think Stone Cold's going to go this, swinging fists. He's going to go in thinking, I'm going to fucking show you how to do a podcast, you little bitch.
Well, he's got the guests lined up, though, too. Because it's going to be like a, I don't know if it's a, I think it's a monthly thing they said. But the guests they've already have confirmed is Heyman's the first one. They're going to have Hulk Hogan on one.
Oh, wow.
And The Undertaker.
Really?
He's doing a rare podcast appearance, yes.
He's doing a rare out-of-character. Like,
that is amazing, because we couldn't book him. We tried.
We
set the feelers out, and Taker couldn't get him.
I mean, my neighbor said it was his uncle.
Well, I heard he lived in St. Louis. Down the road.
Dear God.
I think it might be in character with Undertaker, because they are writing a book about The Undertaker, and it's all kayfabe.
Okay, if they that would be the biggest mistake.
Yeah, there's just no way.
It's not the book.
That's fine. I would read. I probably will read the book.
But there's
no way that Undertaker can, like, all of a sudden the lights are flickering in the middle of it.
He's sitting there, his eyes are rolled back the whole time.
And Austin's just like, so, Brock Lesnar, huh? Which, can I just say, spot on Steve Austin impression right there.
Yeah, I thought it was Stone Cold.
There for a minute, if I closed my eyes,
you thought he was
I was like, holy shit.
You want to throw him a beer. Well, crack
like, somebody give me a beer.
Some beers, go home and relax, guys.
What?
Watch the... God damn it, don't fucking do that to me.
No.
Ever.
No.
Don't you want me?
Do you know who's actually do you know who's responsible for those chants and like what gave Austin the idea?
Bastards?
Nope. Well, I mean,
I've heard this before.
It's Christian.
Yes, Christian.
What?
Yeah. He would just call him and leave him these like long rambling ass voicemails. He would call Christian and just be like, "Yeah, so the other day I got to go home, take the dog out, what?" So and then the dog came back in, so what? And Christian was just like, "You should do that. Like you should just in the middle just interrupt people."
Oh, I was hoping that Stone Cold was telling Christian stories. Christian was like, "What?" Just fucking with Stone Cold, because I can see that going poorly, especially at that time period. Tanner, I'm gonna slap that mixed shit out of you.
No slaps tonight.
No slaps tonight, because that couldn't be because he was what? Not. Well,
somebody give me a burp.
So, for all of you listeners out there who want to apply to Podzilla 1985, bring your resume into Gaming Grounds, where we have 1, 2, 3, at least 3 replacements coming up.
I have yet to say it.
Oh, it was Jordan, because he was thinking it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the pay-per-view. Have a good week, or start the week. Go work Monday. Jordan's flipping me off. Have a good night. Somebody say what, because I know it's coming.
What?
What?
There it is. All right. Tanner, you have nothing to say. You still want me to think about your asshole. Because it's this big.
What?
What? Good night, guys.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.